good morning, and welcome to Matinee on Air. Jane Matinee, Greg Bach, and Calvin Butenhoff coming to you live from our studio in sunny downtown Waukesha. You can always join the conversation. You can call or you can text. It's the same number. And you can leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Right now, before we get to our next guest, very excited to have him here. We're going to talk about tariffs and soybeans. But first, it is our Go for the Green or Gold statewide text to win contest. You need the Civic Media app because you have to text in using the Civic Media app in order to enter this contest. The word this hour is fall, F-A-L-L. The word you want to text via the Civic Media app is fall, F-A-L-L. We're going to play this every day in the 7, 11, 1, and 4 o'clock hours. This is statewide. Every hour we play the contest, one person will pick up either $100 in cash or some lovely gold jewelry, and the grand prize for everybody who enters, a pair of indoor club-level tickets to see the Green and Gold Monday, December 23rd in Green Bay against New Orleans. The word this hour is fall.
Here we go.
F-A-L-L. Make sure you download the Civic Media app. It's free. You can get them wherever you get your apps. All right. Excited, as I said, to welcome our next guest. He has a soybean farm operation outside of Janesville. Doug Rebouts is here. He's with the Wisconsin Soybean Association. Good morning, Doug. Thank you so much for joining us.
Good morning.
Doug, how long have you been farming in Wisconsin?
I'm farming on the farm that I grew up on. I was born and raised here and still going, and 56 years later.
Good wow. for you. Good for you. So your family have been farmers. You're still farming the homestead, I assume.
Yes, we are.
And has it always been soybeans? Were you always a soybean grower?
Our farm originally started off, we were a dairy farm, and we sold our cows in 2020. But over the years, we expanded our crop operation, and we're mostly corn and soybeans, our two main, and we raise some alfalfa and winter wheat along with it.
Well, J.D. Vance, who is the Republican vice presidential nominee, J.D. Vance has said that tariffs are not going to affect us. He essentially said that plans for higher tariffs on U.S. imports will help offset his expanding tax cuts proposals if they are elected in November. So what is your experience with tariffs, Doug, and what kind of impact does that have on you as a soybean farmer in Wisconsin?
Well, from past experience, whenever tariffs are placed on foreign countries, especially China, they don't just sit back and say, okay, we're going to pay this. They do say, hey, we're going to get our money back or, do something back. And it seemed easy 4 years ago, 5 years ago, to put tariffs and impact the farmers, and just by saying, okay, well, if we're paying tariffs, we can't afford to import as many of the agricultural products as we were going to. And with China being such a huge import, they import so many of our ag products that when they cut down on what they're buying from us, it affects our prices, and it can affect us big time.
Well, I would think, as you just pointed out, Doug, that we impose these tariffs on China. China's like, fine, we're not going to export as many of this that our farmers need, and therefore that cost is shoved onto you. You have to come up with the extra money because there's going to be fewer of these products and competition is going to be greater for these products that you all need. Is that accurate?
Oh, that is very accurate. I mean, so on the farm, we're kind of getting hit both ways. They're not buying our products, so that's affecting our prices. And then they're not shipping over stuff that we need on the farm, whether it's steel for, to build a new bin or you know, to fix the stuff that we have. And so we're sitting here either paying a lot more money or trying to figure out how to do without it. And so we're not spending that money then. You know, if we can't get it, okay, we're resourceful. We will figure out another way. But then that just means we're not spending money back into the economy.
And that seems, Doug, a conversation, a theme that we seem to be talking about when we speak to farmers is how, at the end of the day, the farmers are the ones who kind of suffer the most when it comes to whether it's policy or whatnot. It's like you just want to do your job. You want to farm. You want to get the crop out there so you can make the money, support your livelihood, and you have to bob and weave within this political game.
Yeah, that's exactly the way, you know, you described it perfectly. We just want to sit here. We want to farm. We want to get paid a decent price for our product. We are growing, raising, you know, our crops, you know, the dairy farmers, the milk that we're producing. We're growing, producing some of the best products in the world. And so, you know, we want to get paid for it. You know, mm-hmm. We want to make a living. We want to be able to pay for the stuff that we have. We're not sitting here going, oh, we want to get rich on it. We just want to be able to keep going and keep our family farms going.
If you're just joining us, Doug Rebout is our guest. He is a soybean farmer outside of Janesville and the vice president of the Wisconsin Soybean Association. And we're talking about the impact of tariffs on Wisconsin farmers. And what this would mean, this seems to be a big talking point for Donald Trump and J.D. Vance on increasing tariffs and how this is going to solve so many of our problems and apparently just produce so much money that J.D. Vance kind of alluded that we won't have to worry about paying for childcare and all these things. And the deficit won't go up because we're just going to be bringing in so much money. And it just always seems to me, Doug, the farmers, you guys are always getting shafted in some shape or form. And it's not like you guys have this easy profit margin either. Nobody's going into farming, like you said, to get rich. You're not going into farming so you can buy a Jaguar. Or maybe you are.
What
I don't
we're
know.
Doing, it's a huge investment. it would be nice if we could do that.
Car or animal.
But,
it doesn't matter.
You know, on the farm... you know, just to have the money go out and buy nice things. Yeah, that would be nice. And I'll say we do have some nice things. I'm going to sit here and go, poor me. But, you know, the money we're bringing in, we're reinvesting back into our farms. Mm-hmm. You know, the price of equipment nowadays is not cheap.
Yep.
You go, right now we're getting into the harvest season. If you need a new combine, well, you know, a farm our size, we farm a little over 4,000 acres. To buy a combine, if we want to go out and buy a brand new combine and a corn head and a grain head go with it, you're looking at $1 million right there. And so when these tariffs come, let's just say if China, okay, we're going to cut back on the amount of soybeans that we buy. Well, that's going to impact our prices. So just say a 50-cent you know, decrease in our price. On our farm, we raise 80,000 bushels of soybeans. So that's a $40,000 hit for us. Across the state, that's a $50 million hit because we raise about 100 million bushels of soybeans in the state. And, you know, like I said, when we get that money in, we don't just sit and put it in the bank and go, all right, we have this money in the bank.
Right.
We're investing it. So that's that much less money that's going back out into our local economies.
It's got to be so frustrating. I can't imagine. And is China one of, I know certainly China is a big buyer of our ginseng because Wisconsin produces a lot of ginseng. Do they buy a lot of our soybeans too?
They are our biggest buyer of our soybeans and corn products for the United States. Huh. And you know, we've spent many years building up these relationships with them and just able to, you know, the infrastructure of getting our stuff there. And so when they quit buying from us, they're not going to say, okay, we're going to do without. They're going to go buy from other countries. Mm-hmm. And so those countries are building up their infrastructure, and it's going to take a lot for us to get that back.
Anne from Chippewa Falls has a question, and I don't mean to put you on the spot, Doug. Why are most Wisconsin farmers, why do they appear to be Trump supporters? I see lots of big Trump signs on farmers' fields. And I'm sure that's not across the board. I'm sure there's differences of opinion among many different farmers. But there does seem to be a lot of rural support for the a second Trump administration.
excuse me there. It's hard for me to answer what other people are thinking.
Sure.
And, you know, who supports who and why. I'm not going to begin to go there. you know, historically, farmers are more Republican. And I will say in 2016, yeah, there was huge support for President Trump. Talking to some of my friends, you may see those signs out there, but it's not as, you know, rampant as it was back in 2016. I'll say that.
Maybe not quite as passionate.
Yeah.
Not quite as passionate.
Yes.
We're going to continue the conversation. If you can spare the time, Doug, can you stay for a second segment?
Yes.
That would be great. Doug Reboot is a soybean farmer outside of Janesville, farming on the family homestead, and also the vice president of the Wisconsin Soybean Association. Mark from Prairie du Sac, I see you on the line. If you can hang on for just a second, we're going to continue our discussion about tariffs and Wisconsin farmers. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
She takes a swing, man. She can't hurt. She don't mean no harm. She just don't know what else to do.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, and the Board Lord coming to you live from our studio in sunny downtown Waukesha. You can always join us. You can call, you can text, you can leave a comment on the live stream if you're watching on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Very happy to have our guest with us. He's the vice president of the Wisconsin Soybean Association and also Farm Soybeans near Janesville. Doug Reboot is here, and we're talking about tariffs. Doug, I also wanted to talk in just a second about the farm bill, which continues to languish. But if you don't mind, before we get to that, Mark from Prairie du Sac is on the line. Good morning, Mark. Did you have a question or did you have a comment?
Yeah, if I remember history correctly, early on in the early history of our republic, tariffs were put in place not only to make money but also encourage domestic production of finished goods that were so lacking in this country at the beginning of the republic. And you're just going to go into the farm bill, which it kind of segues me to the point I wanted to make, is that Project 2025 more or less wants to eliminate the conservation reserve program, which is critical to our farmers actually being able to take very marginal lands out of production and actually putting it into you know, plantings where, you know, it benefits wildlife and also encourages soil conservation. And if the conservation reserve program goes away, vast acreages of lands open to hunting and to recreational uses is going to be taken out of that, and you know, people will be encouraged just to plow up every single acre, regardless of whether it's actually productive or not. And if the farmer there could probably address that more thoroughly than I can, because I know that I've enjoyed conservation reserve program plots of land when I've gone out to like North Dakota pheasant hunting, and it is just something critical that are with the reserve, with the conservation reserve, with the farm bill languishing in Congress. I mean, farmers are left holding the bag again, and that what's going to happen there?
Appreciate it, Mark. Thank you very much, Doug. Again, the farm bill has been sitting there for months and months and months. I cannot imagine the frustration you and your fellow farmers feel about this bill not getting done.
Yes, we have taken many trips out to Washington, D.C. to talk to our legislators. Getting this farm bill through, and I mean, it's been a year now, basically, that a year ago that we were hoping that they would have finished this, because there are so many programs in there. I mean, it's called the Farm Bill, but you figure it's two-thirds of it is does not have anything to do with farming. It's got to do with food and, you know, everything else, you know, food programs for schools and everything else. But the part that is for the farm, you know, like our crop insurance and programs to help us increase our foreign markets, there are so many different things that we need stability on. And, you know, and we're sitting here going, what's going to happen if they don't get this? You know, there's a lot of farmers going, well, if this doesn't go through and I don't have these programs, I may not be able to keep going.
Well, good heavens, farming requires planning. You have to be able to plan ahead. You have to be able to know right? You already deal with so many unknowns, the weather and water and all of those things. You need some concrete stuff so you can plan.
Yes, and I mean, one of the big ones is like the crop insurance that's in there. And that is, you know, just like any other insurance for whether it's your car, your house, it's something you hope you never have to use. We pay a lot of money into this program, but you know, on a year, you know, this year, you know, we've had a lot of rain. There's drowned out areas. We're not going to get the production in those areas. Granted, we had rain, so we're going to get good production in other areas. But or if you know, down south where they have big windstorms come through and stuff like that, and they lose their whole crop. You know, we need to just be able to say, hey, we can pay our bills at the end of the year because, you know, we're working on buying all of our inputs for next year right now already, and without harvesting this year's crop.
We got a text from Andrew in Maine asking a question. What portion or percent of Wisconsin soybean crops are sold overseas versus sold to U.S. buyers?
I don't have that number in front of me right now. There is a good portion, and it's not so much the soybeans themselves. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, all the byproducts of the soybean. You know, you have crush plants, and we're hoping that there's going to be a new crush plant built down here.
Oh, well, you're cutting out a little bit there, Doug. He appears to be frozen. We're talking to Doug Rebout. He's the vice president of the Wisconsin Soybean Association. He's also a soybean grower near Janesville and said they have quite a few, several thousand acres they've been farming. Doug, I don't know if you're going to unfreeze. If you can hear us, you can call back at 855-752-4842. You can join us on the phone. Otherwise, you may want to pop out and pop back in onto the stream and see if that will bring you back. We've been talking about tariffs and the effect of tariffs. We've also been talking about the languishing farm bill, which they just can't seem to get done. And as Doug pointed out, and as the fabulous farm babe has told us, Pam Yonke has also told us, it's a big umbrella, the farm bill. Yeah. The farm bill covers lots and lots of things, including, as Doug pointed out, school lunch programs. There's roads specific to farmers and around their fields. There's all kinds of things in this farm bill, which, again, just keeps getting shoved down the road.
Yeah, when you make things within the bill controversial, things like the lunch programs, It's the farmers who are sitting there going, we just want to get this finished. And I mean, I don't know about Doug, but I'm sure he wants to plant and harvest versus getting into a plane, flying to DC and politicians, hey, can you get this together? It's been a year now. You hold us up. You come to our land. You pat us on the back.
You use us as political tools.
We're the backbone of America. But when we need you, where are you? And that's the thing that's frustrating for me. I'm not a farmer. I don't come from a farming family. But being on this show and being a part of this company, this network has shown me like just the overwhelming importance of farmers in Wisconsin, and how much they are just absolutely used.
And unappreciated.
Yes, absolutely.
I think they're vastly unappreciated. And as you said, doing this show and just listening to other shows on the network, I have learned so much and have such vast respect for America's farmers and Wisconsin's farmers. And as Doug said at the beginning, he's still farming the family farm, the family homestead. That's what they love. That's what they want to do. They want to get their products out. They want to feed us.
$1 million for a combine plus accessories.
Can you imagine?
$1 million.
All right. News is coming up next. Next hour, last segment of the show, 11:50. This should not be a thing.
Hey, Jane, what's that keyword?
Round one. The keyword, by the way, texted in via the Civic Media app. The text word is fall, F-A-L-L. Boom. Stay close. You're listening to Matt and Air on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Good morning and welcome back to Matt and Air on Air. Jane Matt and Air, Greg Bach, and the Calvinator on the board coming to you from our studio in downtown Waukesha. It is the statewide text to win contest, Greg Bach.
What?
Go for the green or gold statewide text to win contest. You have until noon via the Civic Media app.
Free Civic Media. I finally remember that one.
A free Civic Media app. Text the word fall, F-A-L-L. Whatever station you're listening to across the network, you can be listening in Oshkosh, you can be listening in Amory, wherever. Text via the Civic Media app. Text the word fall, F-A-L-L. And then every hour that we play, 7 a.m., 11 a.m., 1 p.m., and 4 p.m., one person is going to pick up either $100 in cash or some lovely gold jewelry. Mm. And the grand prize, a pair of indoor club-level tickets to see the green and gold in Green Bay Monday 23rd against New Orleans. Text the word fall, F-A-L-L, via the Civic Media app, and good luck.
I've sat in those club seats.
Pretty nice, I bet.
Very warm.
Yeah, the one Green Bay game I went to.
You've only been to one?
Only one.
Oh, wow.
It was in December. And the temperature at game time was 11.
11 what?
Degrees. We spent a lot of time in the bathroom because that was the warmest place we could find.
I've seen them play probably 4 times. The club level was probably the best because you take your jacket off. It wasn't that cold to begin with. It was like October. Well, no, it was preseason. But it was still like, you're just comfy.
Oh, yeah.
You're just really excited. You're just laying back. And then you go to the one, you're like, oh, the seats are really good, but the seats are frozen, and so is my tukas.
Yeah, you're sitting on aluminum seats, it's in December, it can be chilly, so this is great. Yeah. This is great. Text the word fall, F-A-L-L. Todd Allbell will have a different word for you on his show coming up in the 1 o'clock hour. Right before we went to the news, we were talking to Doug Rebout, who is a soybean farmer and the vice president of the Soybean Association here in Wisconsin, about tariffs. J.D. Vance, Donald Trump, talking about how increasing tariffs are going to fix all of our financial problems and everything's going to be ducky. And that doesn't necessarily translate to what Doug was telling us.
No.
But Tom from L.A. has been waiting on the line, I assume, to comment about that. Good morning, Tom. Thanks for your patience.
Good morning, Jane. Good morning, Greg. First, I just want to say that Eric Hovde and J.D. Vance, or JDWeirdo.com, I think we're from the same parentage because of the fact that he's just so weird. I saw Eric Hovde again trying to spout his Wisconsin roots by going to the Badger game and the Packer game, and he was like, I don't know if Jordan Love is going to be playing today. It's like everybody in Wisconsin knows that Jordan Love wasn't going to play yesterday.
Yeah.
I don't keep up with football, and I knew that.
Awkward and weird. Also, just in terms of the soybean issue or the farmer issue, is that, you know, with the food programs like SNAP and programs like that, like he was saying that that actually affects the farm bill. But what's very interesting is that when they give a dollar of food stamps out, it actually produces $1.60 back to the economy. So we need to really get that farm bill passed, but we need to get not by cutting the necessities of food programs, but we need to actually increase the food programs so therefore the farmers can get their bill passed.
Well,
and
I think
Republicans are never going to go along with that because they just want to basically, you know, strip all everything that's good about a program.
You're not wrong, Tom. Yeah. And the fact that Derek Van Orden,
champion of the farmer,
champion of farmers, is doing nothing.
No.
In Western Wisconsin, he's got a challenger. We'll see how Rebecca Cook can do up against Derek Van Orden, but he hasn't done anything for Wisconsin's farmers, and that's one of the things that he ran on.
He's on record, I think it was last week or the week before, saying he would love to vote for this farm bill if they just took all of the benefits out of it.
Okay.
Yes, yeah. Absolutely.
All right. Well, we don't want to help poor people.
Because farmers also don't use those benefits as well. No, not them. And not just the terrible poor people who just can't bootstrap their life.
And we've talked to other farmers before,
yes,
who have no problems with these food programs and their products going to these food programs.
No, they just, once again, as we spoke before with other farmers, we spoke with Doug, these individuals who have been farming anywhere from 15, 20, 30 on the homestead,
on the homestead
for 100 years, they just want to plant their crop. They want to harvest the crop. They want to sell that crop, and they want to make money to invest in new equipment, invest in new products, and make a living and just have a good life. That's
yes.
All they want. But constantly just being screwed with by anyone in D.C., and they have to sit there and they have to fly to D.C. and probably put on a suit and have to shake hands with someone who's going to be like, I met with the farmers today, Jay.
Yes, I did my part.
I did my part. Those farmers, those are the backbones. Oh, wait. Money for poor people? No, thank you. Sorry.
Yeah, I cannot imagine the level of frustration among our farmers.
No, it's
because they get used by both sides.
Yeah.
They get used by all sides.
Yeah.
As their ping pong ball. And then when it comes time to actually do something on their behalf, we let them sit.
Yeah.
And as Doug pointed out, they have to plan for things.
Yep.
They have to plan for the next year. And I found it a big revelation when he pointed out how much a new combine costs.
Combine with accessories costs about $1 million. How many farmers who are not corporate
have that sitting around?
Have that just sitting around. They have to go to a bank, get a loan, and now they're in another form of debt on top of probably a home, other equipment, their barn. When you talk about crop insurance.
Yeah.
I mean,
and now, more now than ever before,
yeah,
do they need
my
crop
gosh.
Insurance.
Oh, my gosh. There was so much rain this year.
Yeah.
So, I'm just going to say this. If Kamala wins, and either the majority is even more razor thin in the House and the Senate, in the House, and the Democrats have any sort of power, Democrats, show some gumption here.
You better step up, man.
Step up and take control of this narrative and just push this through. Do what you say and push it through. Stand up for these farmers that you tout as the backbone of this state and this country and help them.
And then maybe we won't see so many Trump signs in farmer fields.
Maybe. Honestly, I don't even care about that because just help them.
Yeah.
That's all I care about.
Yeah.
Just help them.
We are going to move on. And this is something that came out last week, maybe even a couple of weeks ago. and we haven't had a chance to get to it yet, but I find this very disturbing.
Yeah.
And this is an article from the Tampa Bay Times. Isaac Menashe remembers when he was at a farmer's market last year.
Mm-hmm.
So this Florida resident is at a farmer's market last year, and someone asked him if he would be willing to sign a petition to get Florida's abortion amendment on the ballot. He said yes. And so he signed this.
Yeah.
I've run into this. People have come to my door with petitions. I've seen them at fairs. I've seen them in other places. Here's the petition we want to get on the ballot. Can you sign this? We need X number of signatures in order for this to go through. So Mr. Menashe said yes. He signed this petition. Earlier earlier this month, a law enforcement officer showed up at his door. Menashe says he was surprised when the plainclothes officer asked him twice if he was really the Isaac Menashe who signed this petition. The officer said he's looking at a potential petition fraud. Even though the officer was professional and courteous, Menashe, who said he's had little interaction with the police over his life, said this has left him very shaken.
Mm-hmm.
I am not a person who's going out there protesting for abortion. I just felt strongly, and I took the opportunity when the person asked me to say, yes, I will sign that petition. This officer visits, appears to be part of a broad strategy by Republican Governor Ron DeSantis to inspect thousands of signatures that have already been verified and validated in the final 2 months before the election. This amendment would overturn the 6-week ban in Florida by proposing to protect abortion access in Florida until viability. How would you feel about this? You signed a petition last year at a farmer's market in Waukesha. I was just there on Saturday.
Yeah.
And the following year, a cop shows up at your door and starts questioning you on whether or not you actually signed this petition, even though it had already been validated.
Yeah.
It had already been confirmed that you were the person who signed this petition, and yet they're spending taxpayer money to send cops to individuals' homes to question them and make sure that they're not lying, apparently.
Jane, as I spoke about this last week, that I did get a knock on the door a long time ago from a U.S. Marshal asking me about potential voter fraud. Now, I understand because I had moved, so I let them in. We talked. It was done. I said, thank you. Sorry for this. He goes, most of the times, nothing leads to it. Just have to investigate. But in this situation, if I signed a piece of paper, a petition, and someone said, I wouldn't be like this. I would not think this is about fraud. I would not trust for a moment that this is about fraud. It's about knowing who is doing what in your state. This is some big brother junk, in my opinion.
No kidding.
And I'm telling you right now, there shouldn't be a Republican listening to this show right now who likes this either, because you love small government. You like being left alone. You like being able to do your thing, having your rights.
And your privacy.
You sign a piece of paper, then someone comes knocking on your door saying, hey, is this yours? I would be pretty upset about that.
I would, too. I thought our ballots were supposed to be private.
Yeah.
I thought our vote was supposed to be private. I thought if I vote yes for an amendment, that's my private vote.
Yeah. I certainly should.
And the government doesn't get to keep a database of the petitions that I've signed. And now they know my positions on all these things before I even go into the ballot box.
And there's a line from this story in the Tampa Bay Times. One 16-year supervisor said the request was unprecedented. The state did not ask for rejected petitions, which have been the basis for past fraud cases. So there is, wait for it, Jane, a process that you go through. You start with asking for petition for rejected ballots. You take those and you go forth. This is just taking the petitions. And here you go. Here are yours.
Go knock on doors.
And don't worry about how they feel. Because in this story, one woman says she felt intimidated by the law enforcement officer. Becky Castellanos said that she felt intimidated by having the law enforcement officer come to her door. I would lose. You know what, Jane? I'd probably, and I'm not even trying to be funny. I'd probably end up in jail because I'd be so angry about this, because that is my privacy. And I have a right to that, as this, there's a piece of paper in Washington.
Yeah, well, they're trying to get it. Some of them are trying to get rid of that,
totally,
too.
Totally. This is Big Brother stuff. This is monitoring. This is not for the good of democracy or the justice of the world. This is about Ron DeSantis and his little group of people who want to know what everyone's thinking and writing about.
And voting for.
Yep.
And that's not theirs to know.
This is moving the goalposts
again.
Checking up on you. Hey, Jane, I know you voted for Ron DeSantis, but what's this? What's this thing?
Are you sure you want to do this?
Are you sure you support a free America that makes women not be free? Because that's what Florida's about.
This kind of feels like voter intimidation.
Ding, ding, ding.
Okay. Just a heads up. This is what's happening in Florida if you're thinking about moving there.
That's another edition of Jane and Greg Take a Deep Breath.
Heavy sigh. Fall is the word to text via the Civic Media app until noon, F-A-L-L. For our statewide Text to Win, Go for the Green and Gold contest. When we return, This Should Not Be a Thing, a debut edition. Stay with us. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Celebrate and dance so free. One more time, music's got me feeling so free. We're gonna celebrate and dance so free. One more time, music's got me feeling so free. We're gonna celebrate and dance so free. One more time, music's got me feeling so free. We're gonna celebrate and dance so free.
Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, and Sweet Calby on the board. Coming to you live from our studio in downtown Waukesha. Just a couple of minutes left to text the word via the free Civic Media app. Text the word FALL, F-A-L-L. It's our statewide Text to Win, Go for the Green or Gold contest. We play this weekdays now at 7, 11, 1, and 4 o'clock. Different word in those hours. Every hour that we play, one person picks up either $100 in cash or some beautiful gold jewelry, and everybody's in the running for the grand prize, a pair of indoor club-level tickets to see the Green and Gold in Green Bay Monday, December 23rd against New Orleans. The word is FALL, F-A-L-L. Your next word will be coming your way with the Todd Alda Show in the 1 o'clock hour. It is 11:51. And that means, guys, it's time for
This Shouldn't Be a Thing.
This Shouldn't Be a Thing.
If we ever do a live show, I'm doing that on stage.
So many things that should not be a thing. And thank you, Todd Michaels, for putting that together for us. He did such a great job. I had a different one planned.
Yeah. Yeah. That's how radio moves.
It moves quickly. And then this popped up. And I thought we'd do our debut segment with this.
Fun inside story about this. When we're between breaks, when we're on breaks, Jane will be perusing the news, and she will just go, "Oh, my God." And I will then have to ask her for context, because she'll say that and then just keep reading and be like, "What happened?" So this caught her eye and her ire.
And my ire. This is just, this should not.
This is some snowflake.
Be a thing.
Yeah.
Remember former White House trade advisor Peter Navarro?
The one who got out of prison, got into a car, went onto a plane, then went right to the RNC?
Yes.
Peter Navarro?
Peter Navarro.
The criminal.
Yep. The criminal who spent, I believe, 4 months behind bars.
Yes.
Because he was convicted. He's upset that a woman on an airplane told him to go back to prison.
Oh, my words.
A woman on a plane yelled at him, go back to prison, and walked away. This has Peter very, very upset. Quote, I want to say about this is the depths to which our society now, in the age of Trump, have fallen is unprecedented in our history. You're right about that. When she thinks there's enough people between us that she can somehow get away out the door, she screams at me, go back to prison. If a middle-aged, middle-class housewife thinks she has the right or the license to speak that way to other people in public and wants to take my freedom away from me, anybody in this country now thinks they can say anything the hell they want to anybody, anywhere. Who does that sound like, Peter Navarro?
It sounds like a landscape that he helped create.
Thugs, vermin, people who hate our country, traitors.
Mm-hmm.
That's all coming from Donald Trump.
Well, to be fair to Peter Navarro, he did go to jail for contempt for not showing up for a subpoena. So he's not into speaking, apparently. So when he hears someone speaking, he gets really upset. And my whole thing is the whole middle age, middle class. Like, if you had a problem with someone saying that.
Middle class housewife.
So just you are a classist, sexist, snowflake.
Ageist.
Who cannot just hear a skosh of criticism. The fact that you went to jail to defend a 34-count convicted felon, adjudicated rapist, and a man who is clearly sliding down the hill a little bit.
Who helped to normalize this kind of language? Who helped normalize this?
Yeah.
From the time he came down that stupid escalator to today.
Yeah.
Vermin, scum, traitors who deserve to die.
Yep.
People who hate this country.
Yeah.
Hate this country from within.
And let's not forget all of the other people he's influenced to say even worse things too. I mean, what's funny is that you got like someone like a Mark Robinson in Carolina, in North Carolina, who's running for governor right now. And the things that come out of his mouth that is completely attributed to this Trumpian GOP that is now has a stranglehold on that party. Peter Navarro, come on, man. This is just another example of them is hypocrisy.
And yes.
Snowflakeacy. I hated that. I'm sorry I ever said that. I'm sorry I ever said that.
But it hurts you. It's
so true, though. Every time they're like, how dare you?
You got to be kidding me.
Yeah.
You have got to be kidding me. That the rhetoric has devolved. Yes, it certainly has.
Yes.
We can go back to the first 2 years of the Trump presidency when teachers were talking to reporters about how their kids and the bullying got so much worse under Donald Trump, and things that Donald Trump would say on the stump were coming out of the mouths of children in elementary schools.
Hate crimes increased a lot. Just after the election, not even while he was in office, people were going around beating up people of color, spray painting, terrible things all over the place. This is a climate, Peter Navarro, you helped create.
Yes, absolutely.
And then when the law said, come and talk about it, you said, no. And then you went to jail as if that was some sort of flex. You're a criminal and you deserve everything you get when it comes to the words of Americans who dislike being around you.
If you ever have a suggestion for this shouldn't be a thing,
yeah,
you can send it in to Jane Says, JaneSays, Jane Says, at civicmedia.us. We will be closing out every show with this going forward. This shouldn't be a thing.
Oh, the blood's boiling.
3 minutes left to text the word fall via the Civic Media app. F-A-L-L, text the word fall for our statewide text to win. Go for the green and gold contest. Good luck. Your next word coming up in the 1 o'clock hour with our friend and colleague Todd Alba. News is next. Keep it right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Thank you, Greg and Calvin and all of our engineers. And thank you for calling and for texting and listening. It means the world. I hope you find some joy today and you have the chance to share it. See you tomorrow.